Casey here again because we've got another bonus podcast. Glennis and Daniel both felt it was important to talk a bit about the response that's happening right now to sexual harassment in Springfield. It's related to the conversation about Speaker Madigan, but we felt as a topic it could stand on its own and should be released as a bonus. Now, as a kind of non-trigger warning, in this bonus episode, there is not a detailed discussion of sexual harassment or sexual assault. We're focused on Speaker Madigan's tactics in the legislative fight to curb sexual harassment in the Capitol. Thanks for listening.
Speaking of influence and things that are often behind a curtain and swept under a rug, I feel like we would be remiss to not talk about this, but there have been allegations of sexual harassment. We don't have to go too deep down that path, but I would like to talk about that sexual harassment in Springfield, something I feel like should be addressed because it is something that the public has been brought to the eyes and ears and hearts and minds of the public. So I'll leave that as more of an open-ended question.
No, thank you. First of all, let me say, just to back up a whole bunch of steps, if there's one theme to what we're talking about in this episode, it's that there is a very rigid, hierarchical, dominance-driven political machine around Madigan.
Mm-hmm.
That's about hierarchies and power.
Mm-hmm.
Situations that are about hierarchies and power are breeding grounds for various forms of abuse, whether it's bullying,
mm-hmm.
sexual harassment, physical assault. Those two things go hand in hand. Does that mean that Mike Madigan personally is engaging in those things? I have no idea. I very much doubt that he is. I think there's no allegations that he is that I've heard. But what there are a lot of allegations that people who are affiliated with him in different ways have been involved in either bullying or actual sexual harassment, in some cases sexual assault, and various other forms of conduct that you might tend to see in a place that's all about hierarchies and command and control and power.
Okay.
So that's the background.
Got it.
And that includes someone who had been his chief of staff, who was an enormously powerful person in his operation, most trusted advisor, who resigned in disgrace because of very credible allegations of ways that he treated at least one woman in the Capitol. And it also includes the brother of Mike Madigan's own alderman. So the alderman in his own ward is a guy by the name of Marty Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
His brother, Kevin Quinn, has been accused by a woman who was working on campaigns affiliated with Mike Madigan. He was accused by this woman of harassing her in very, very extreme ways. And she did it, she made the accusation by publishing screenshots of lots of text messages. So, in a court of law, he hasn't been convicted of anything yet, I don't think, but there's not a lot of question about his conduct. And so when these episodes come up, they're, Madigan apologizes and claims to fire the person in question, though sometimes the relationship isn't one where you can exactly fire someone. Like, can you fire a lobbyist who works for someone else? No.
Right,
but that's a thing that Madigan claimed to have done with one of these bullies. But then the question is, like, what are the systemic reforms that need to happen? And Madigan has, of course, made very aggressive statements about his understanding that he's responsible for this and the need for systemic reforms. But now check this out. There's been a task force that was really essentially in some ways led by Senator Melinda Bush. She's a senator from Lake County. And she put, I think it's fair to say, hundreds of hours into really thinking about what kind of legislation could make a dent in the sexual harassment problem. And she devised a bill that would really change the way Mike Madigan does business. Like, for example, I mentioned the woman who was working on campaigns affiliated with Madigan, who was harassed by the brother of this alderman.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's getting complicated. That's part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned this woman. Well, when the Madigan team tried to kind of mount a legal defense, their defense was, well, she wasn't an employee. She was a contractor.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one thing that Senator Bush's bill does is give contractors many of the same protections that full-time employees have. That would rock Mike Madigan's world.
Yeah.
Another thing that her bill does is it would significantly limit non-disclosure agreements because, of course, non-disclosure agreements are used to keep victims' mouths shut. Mm-hmm. And so she did all this work, got this bill ready to go, passed unanimously out of the Senate, because whether or not people really believe in it, no one wants to be seen voting against something
right,
like that.
Right.
And then it came to the House, and there was a statement released by three House members, Greg Harris, Natalie Manley, and Kathleen Willis, who are all members of Madigan's leadership team. The statement they released is as follows. As members of the Legislative Ethics Commission, Representatives Manley and Willis believe that addressing an issue as critical as ending workplace harassment requires a thorough, thoughtful approach. Senator Bush's legislation contains many elements which will be reviewed and evaluated alongside ethics and human rights issues proposed by members of the House in our effort to develop the most comprehensive legislation possible. Members from both sides of the aisle have been invited to be part of this process. We have discussed these intentions with Senator Bush and made a commitment to our Senate colleagues on the Ethics Commission to work with them in this process. So let me just turn it around, if you don't mind. What does that statement mean to you?
I'm still processing it. What does it mean to you?
It means, Senator Bush, thank you very much for your work on the subject. Now go to hell.
Right.
We're going to take over. We're going to do it our way.
Right.
And we don't need your input any longer.
Right.
And what happened, I think it's pretty clear, mm-hmm. is that Mike Madigan saw this bill that Senator Bush passed, realized, number one, he'd promised systemic change.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, this bill delivered systemic change.
Yeah.
Number three, he doesn't like systemic change.
Right.
Now, he controls the House. He could just stand up in front of a TV camera and say, I don't like that bill. We're not going to call it for a vote. But that would be too inflammatory.
Of course.
That would get him in trouble.
Right.
So instead of doing that, he's hiding behind these other members who are putting out a statement that Madigan and his team surely workshopped, who are going to pretend to engage in a collaborative process, who are taking this out of the control of the people who actually wanted to solve the problem, putting in the hands of the people who are trying to kick dust in the air and slow down the solution. And ultimately, either nothing's going to pass or they're going to pass some significantly watered-down version. But Madigan's fingerprints won't be quite on this whole episode enough for him to truly be held to account. He'll be saying, these are women, strong women in the Illinois House of Representatives who are part of the leadership team, who are taking ownership of this issue to solve a problem. How dare you suggest that they don't have the best interest of victims of harassment at heart? And the truth of the matter is that these are both good people. They're both friends of mine, but they also were initially at least targets, which is to say their political careers began with campaigns that were entirely run and funded by Mike Madigan. Then they got to the legislature and had someone handing them a sheet of paper telling them how to vote. And now, after having established a multi-year-long pattern of being essentially a part of the Madigan program, now they're being told to do this. And I think it's very interesting to watch, will he get away with this? Because the stuff that I just said went on forever. I felt this great discomfort, like talking into this microphone for a long time to explain all the twists and turns. And those twists and turns are exactly what he's trying to hide behind.
But are you saying that their role in this fight was therefore disingenuous as a result?
I think that to pin motives on them is unfair and disrespectful of them. What I think is that it's impossible to separate them from Madigan. And so the fact that they're different human beings than Mike Madigan doesn't change the fact that this is Mike Madigan's work being done to kill a bill that is popular and important, but that Mike Madigan is terrified of. And I think if we're here at Ill-Informed for any reason at all, it's to give people enough information to start to sift through these complicated twists and turns and hold them accountable, because ultimately it's not that complicated. What's happening is he doesn't want this thing to pass, but he wants to blame somebody else.
Yeah.
And hopefully we can pin the blame where it belongs.